Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Linda Bergsma. We are the tag team, Jennifer Peters and I, from the University of Arizona at the State Office of Rural Health there, where I am the director and Jennifer is the coordinator and primary person to make sure everything gets done. Objectives for our presentation today, we're going to assess the benefits and challenges to developing and presenting meaningful performance measures, describe some performance measure models developed by our State Office of Rural Health, and make some recommendations for furthering a performance evaluation to include impact analysis and really to inform strategic community health planning and policy development. Carefully crafted performance measurement can certainly improve a number of things for an agency. The focus on strategic goals and objectives, focused on program priorities, relationships with stakeholders, efficiency and effectiveness, and also one that is important for us as well as all of the rest, but it's kind of a communication with staff and a shared sense of staff responsibility and accomplishment so that we kind of all know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Current status of rural health performance measurement is that many states and local agencies that are devoted to rural health do lack meaningful measures to assess performance and gauge the efficient use of government and or private resources. The problems here are insufficient resources and the inability to develop performance measures that form the key obstacles to this performance measuring effort. In 1993, the Government Performance and Results Act was passed, and this came along from difficulties in assessing performance and the public's demand that we should know better how the federal monies were being spent, and was intended to address a number of issues. And in 2003, 10 years later. A review found that the GPRA, the Government Performance and Results Act, had helped link resources to outcomes, although significant improvements could still be achieved. And I think we are still at that point, even though it's now 4 years later. California, they did a performance review audit in 2004, and it revealed that most state agencies are using some performance metrics, such as benchmarks and performance measures in managing their programs, and that many have developed benchmarks and performance measures that are linked to their strategic goals. Some have processes in place to gather and measure data, but few of these are web-based. Some agencies are analyzing and adjusting measures and integrating changes into subsequent plans, although their time frames for regular review and adjustment of measures range from as needed to biennial basis. There are 50 state offices of rural health. They're funded by the Office of Rural Health Policy, and these are their core functions. In Arizona, November of 2006 to April of 2007, we worked with the Office of Performance Review to do a team that to do a review of our HRSA-funded project, and they also were reviewing several other HRSA grantees in the state as well. And one requirement that we had was to provide a performance measurement data with a numerator and a denominator. In other words, they were really interested in numbers. So the first thing we did was to determine for some of our measures what would be the denominator. We chose the primary care areas into which our state is divided for some of our performance measures. And we used these because they were readily available and they are used by Arizona State Health Department in order to get a better picture of what is going on in small rural areas than just by looking at the 15 large counties in our state, which you can see by the outlines there. A primary care area is a geographic area in which most residents seek primary health care services from the same place or places. Now, in other states where the counties are small, and this is, for example, this is in Kansas, One could use states. Another way to do, we have primary care areas in Arizona, but another way to get small area denominators and locations is through something called primary care service areas. And primary care service areas were, and these are overlaid here over Kansas, and there are 145 primary care service areas over 105 counties in Kansas. So you can see that counties and primary care service areas for states with small counties are fairly analogous. Primary care service areas were derived from a study done at Dartmouth in which 6,542 areas were defined by aggregating zip areas to reflect Medicare patient travel to primary care providers. This tells you how they were defined. And the nice thing about primary care service areas is that they are updated frequently and free to the public for use. Now I'm going to let Jennifer tell you a little bit about the models that we came up with in our performance review.
Okay, good afternoon. As Linda explained, we went through a performance review process. And in the beginning, we had to come up with a model for how we were going to look at our activities. So we developed a simple model that involved quantity, type, delivery, and effect. We addressed quantity, type, and delivery in our review. We didn't get to effect. Interestingly, it wasn't of that much interest to the performance review team from HRSA. They were more interested in counting things, but obviously effect is very interesting to us, and we did have some processes that we started to develop to really look at effect. So taking the first measure, quantity, we already discussed the primary care area as a geographic unit, and we also had to determine the unit that would count as an incident for an activity. And we determined that we would count each unique organization or agency that was a participant or recipient of a service that we provided to strengthen or enhance their rural health care. The essential information we needed was the organization's physical address, including their zip code. And once we had that, we utilized our close partnership with our state health department to convert those zip codes into the primary care areas, and they were able to do that in batches, which was really helpful. So this is an example looking at that primary care area map again. And as Linda mentioned, there are 127 primary care areas in Arizona. 95 of those are categorized as either rural, Indian, or having a critical access hospital, which would also categorize them as rural. So we had 95 non-urban PCAs. We used GIS mapping software to map out these PCAs, and so in addition to needing the physical address, we also had to get the what are called shape files, which are necessary to do GIS mapping. We also, as Linda mentioned, looked at things in the form of charts. Here's an example of, we looked at numbers of PCAs receiving technical assistance from our program in comparison to the overall number of non-urban PCAs, and we looked at it in over three program years. So this was helpful to give us some trend data and to be able to plot out what we wanted to see in the future. For the second measure, type, we divided type into three types of what we generally call technical assistance for our whole program, and we selected a major activity that was representative of each type. So for information dissemination, we looked at our annual rural health conference. For coordination of resources, we looked at the leveraging of dollars to benefit Arizona rural communities. And for training and technical assistance, we looked at services that were about educating, forming linkages, or direct one-on-one consulting. And we also use the GIS software looking at trends, and I'll just get into the meat of it here. So looking at our rural health conference, here's some examples of how we use the data. In this example, we looked at 3 years and we overlapped them together into one map, and so the red stars represent where we held the conference, and we used colors to represent density of where participants came from in our state. We also looked at it in chart form and used bar graphs to show where participants had come from within our state over 1 year. Another item of interest to us was figuring out how we got more people to the conference. So we mapped where participants came from in a year versus where planning committee members for the conference came from, and we did see a correlation there. We were even able to use GIS to look at trends and show where increases and decreases in participation were happening throughout the state. The leveraging of dollars piece, we looked at both direct funds and indirect funds. Direct funds were defined as funds that we applied for and received in order to do our own work, and indirect funds were funds that we advocated for other agencies. And that was mostly done in a chart form, as well as these graphs, where we were able to see trends in our success in the dollars we were able to secure either directly or indirectly. And the final piece, training and technical assistance, here's just a kind of different way that we looked at things. We mapped what PCAs that we had been able to reach with some form of educating, forming linkages, and consulting year by year, and we were able to see some good growth, especially from 2003, 2004 to 2004, 2005. And a little caveat here is that most of this data collection that we did was retrospective. We didn't have a real-time tracking system in place, so we had to go back and look at this data, and that might indicate why we had lower numbers in the further back year where our memories weren't so good. We looked at that in chart form too and in data tables. The third measure, delivery, this was more of interest to us than it was to our performance review team, because to us it was all about efficiency, knowing that we can reach more people in when we do one person to many type of service delivery. But you know, the quality of that delivery might not be the same, and so it only works really in certain situations. But we did code things according to delivery, and so we could look at that in the future. And now I'll turn the last section over to Linda.
So, as Jennifer said, the Office of Performance Review wasn't really very interested in effect, which really bothered us, but we are. And so where do we want to go with this? Well, there's a lot of work being done at the Melanina Zuckerman College of Public Health, where we are, on a survey to capture the data on the impact of community-based programs. The State Office of Rural Health has been really involved in this development, as we plan to send out multiple surveys to the many organizations and agencies to which we provide outreach and with whom we partner. This is an impact survey, and it's innovative in part because it's completed by both the College of Public Health-based project group, in our case that would be the Rural Health Office, and the community-based project group. The survey has been extensively pilot tested, and it will be implemented in 2008. It's also been institutionalized by virtue of being linked to another annual data collection process required by the college. The College of Public Health implementation of this survey is a good response to the need of college-wide level data to collect data on the impact of programs from the perspective of the community. However, for a services-based program like our State Office of Rural Health, we would also like to have additional measures put into place. And so the ultimate of impact analysis for us will really have three measures. Thank you. Program output measurement. What are the products and services that are created? System impact measurement. As a result of these efforts, what changes take place in the healthcare system? And a population outcome measurement. What service needs of the target population is the total result of the investment, the investment of efforts directed at the target issues. And Jennifer said that we had done some retrospective work in terms of trying to capture data. We are also instituting a web-based system for ongoing capturing of data so that we don't ever get to the point again where we have to go back 3 years and try to remember things. Thank you very much.